started it off by saying, this is what you have to be. Not what you have to do, whatever. You have to be certain things or you cannot do certain things. Doing, all it proves is this is the kind of person you are. The doing proves what the being is. So Jesus said, you need to be a certain thing to start with. Then you don't have to worry so much about the results or how you're going to come out in the end. Now, by the time we get over to the seventh chapter, because Jesus started out by saying, if you'll be this, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are those so-and-so, so-and-so, and so-and-so. See, and that's the way he said. He said, if you'll be this kind of person, then he said, you are ready to become the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And the way you practice your religion goes like this. He says, you don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing when it comes to doing righteous deeds, and so forth and so forth. See, he said, this is the way you do it. And by the time he gets over to where men you are now, what he's saying down in these verses where men you're looking at, in case I don't get to it, what he's saying there. And don't forget, I'm going to check up on you at the end. See, I know we think, well, he's never going to ask me about that. All that he said, don't forget, I'm going to check up on you at the end. There is a judgment to be faced. Don't forget that. Now, he says, I'm telling you how that you can be in good shape when that takes place. But if you ignore it, now you say, well, how does God intend to keep me in shape? By the word. See, he created the worlds by the word. Now, he took the word and he said things like this. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, what will happen to you if you believe them words? What will happen if you believe them words and do them? What will happen to you? Thou shalt. You see, he created the world by his word. Let there be light. Now, he forgives sins by his word. He can speak the word and your sins will be forgiven. And so tonight, when we look at, he says, be sure and watch the kind of preachers you listen to. Because you say, well, I can just listen to any kind of preacher and it won't influence me. Yeah, it'll influence you. Whatever goes into that noodle of yours, see, whatever. That's why it's very important what you watch, what you read, what you listen to, whatever goes inside. Did you hear Jesus say, it is not necessarily what goes into a man that condemns him, but it's what comes out of the man. Now, what's going to come out? Something that has gone into you. That's all it can come out. See, it's something that's gone into you because that's the only thing you've got to produce is what it is. So you have to listen very carefully. I know you think preachers are wasting their time, but it's not true. See, when the preacher stands up there and he makes his declaration to you, you think, well, I don't much like that preacher and I don't much think he knows what he's talking about and I don't know so-and-so. See, but don't kid yourself because, men, you look at the seventh chapter here and listen what he says. We'll get through a verse of it. Go down to about verse 16. We got down somewhere about that. 2 weeks, man, I can't remember. 2 weeks ago. But we got somewhere down about verse 16. Listen to what he said. He just said in verse 15, beware of false prophets. See, prophets has to do with words. That's what they live off of, is putting out words. Beware means don't grab it and hold it to yourself. The teachings of false prophets. False prophets means prophets who's kind of put on a face that ain't really theirs, telling you things that's not really true. and if they're not true, they're false, and so forth. He says, don't hold it to you. When you hear something, be sure and think about, is that biblical, or is that what this fellow thinks, or he just thought up from reading the Bible? And so it's very important. I grew up a primitive Baptist. Well, I was a kid, so I didn't know primitive Baptist from nothing else. I just, you know. But I grew up in the primitive Baptist church, and they kind of believed whatever will be. So what ain't going to be, might be. So don't worry about nothing, because he's going to do everything. And don't be asking any questions either. What? And so as I growed up in that, see, after a while I got to thinking, maybe I ought to look in the Bible myself. And when I got to looking in the Bible, some of those things didn't fit in the Bible the way I thought. Now, you say, Jesse, can you be wrong and go to heaven? Yeah. Most people who get there will have some kind of doctrine messed up. They think, I didn't have that figured out right there. See? But you don't get this one messed up. You believe Jesus died for you, was buried, rose again. That's where you get your sins forgiven. Now, from there on, you might get messed up on some Lord's Supper, baptizing, going to church, reading the Bible, so forth, how to treat other people. So you may get kind of out. And that's not what saves you, no way. All that's not what saved you. That's stuff you practice because you are saved. And you may get messed up there. And to keep you from getting messed up, because if you get messed up, what we're going to be reading here in verse 16, in verse 15, he said, now watch them false prophets, because whatever they say will produce something. See, you're going to, if you live, you're going to eat some food that somebody else could have had if you just hung yourself and got on out of the way. See, if you live, you're going to affect certain things that are around you. See, just by being here. And what you do affects people. And if you affect them in a certain way, God will hold you responsible for it. Because he said, now I'm going to tell you how to act and how to do and so forth. And if you don't listen to me, he's going to use words to do it. And prophets use words. And he says, if you don't listen to me, then I'll call you to tall when it comes to end. And it's kind of scary. So look at verse 16 now. He said, beware of false prophets in verse 15. But look at verse 16. Now, by their fruits, and he's talking about the false prophets. By their fruits, does yours have ye, Y-E, right after that, ye? That's a command. See, it's not a request. Ye, and he's talking to plural. He's not talking just one individual. He's talking to you if you're a Christian. Now, he says, by their fruits, ye shall know them. Now, I'm amazed how many people who know so little about the Bible, they believe anything that anybody says. They just believe anything. Anything come down the pike, they just believe it and go right along with it. And Jesus here is commanding you, beware false prophets. And I command you to look, check the fruit out that they're producing. You check it out. And make sure of the fruit. Now, when you look at a tree, and it claims to be a pear tree, and there's plums hanging on it, you think, there's something out of whack here. Now, when you look at somebody that says, I'm living for Jesus, and you see some stuff hanging down there that Jesus says, I don't associate with that kind of stuff, you think, there's something out of whack here somewhere, because this tree ain't putting it out what he said put out. See, I'm talking, for instance, And I know this kind of mean to me, but I'm an old man. Y'all have to put up with me. Right? See, I'm talking people who've been saved for years and years. Never have won anybody Jesus since you've been saved. Now, I know you claim to be a good Christian. Do you know why Jesus has church? Why he died on the cross? Why he was buried? Why he wrote it? See, you know why he did it? You said, yeah, he did that so we could collect offerings and pay you preachers big salaries. You don't believe that, do you? Well, he did that so we could build a big church. He did that so we could send missionaries all around the world. Now, why did Jesus die and be buried and rise again? Anybody, just tell me. So people could be what? Amazing. Now, and the amazing thing is, did you know that from stats that we got, 5% out of one, 5 people out of 100 has ever won anybody to Jesus that claims to be a Christian. Now, that's his main job. Now, listen to Jesus. By their fruits. So the fruit of a Christian is what? A-N-O-T-H-E-R. Huh? The fruit of a Christian is another Christian. The fruit of a man and a woman coming together in marriage and so forth, the fruit of that is a newborn. The fruit of you becoming the bride of Christ, you and Jesus working together, you say, the Lord's leading me. Isn't it strange he's never led you to help nobody get saved? And yet he's been leading you all the time. And that's what he died for. Doesn't that kind of, don't that kind of throw you a curve some way to think, I don't know here. You say, well, I go to church and I don't even snore when I'm sleeping there. But I mean, see, when you read the Bible, see, I read the Bible and I get to think, oh, Lord, you're going to have to help me. Now, listen, he says, you are to know false prophets, not hold them to yourself. Not hold them to yourself. You are to know it. He is a command. Now we're going to look at this line. I'll read 2 or 3 verses, and then we'll come back and look at this line. Listen to what it says. By their fruits ye shall know them. Now, if I asked you this question, you answer it. Well, you don't have to look up at me and answer it. Just answer it. Do men gather grapes of thorns? Somebody answer me. See, we all know that. See, even little kids know that. So he's just asking you that question. Or do we gather figs of thistles? Now, verse 17. Well, even so, every good tree bring forth good fruit. It looks good and it is good. See, good fruit. But the corrupt tree bring forth evil fruit. Did you ever say evil? Evil fruit means it's got disease. It is useless. You can't consume it to any degree. But wrong teaching does produce. And this is what he's talking about here. The false prophets, they do produce. But they have led you to believe that it's all right for you to sit in the pew and never really get involved in the work of the Lord. They have led you to believe. That's fine. Now he says, if you got a good tree, you're not going to get evil fruit. You're going to get good fruit. Now he's not talking about being saved and being lost. It's just like in John this morning in our Sunday school lesson. He said this, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you want to bring forth good stuff, abide in me. And we decided this morning in Sunday school class that abide means build your house right here and say, I'm going to live right here from now on. Abide means I'm not just moving around all the time. I'm getting in Christ and I'm staying in Christ. I built my house here. This is where I'm going to live. I'm going to live in Christ. That's what abide means. Jesus said, if you want to bear fruit, abide in me. Now, if he says, if you don't bear fruit, look down at verse 22, and then we'll just go back and look at this a minute. But look down at verse 22. Listen to what he said. Many is going to say to me in that day, do you know what he means by that day? Without him spelling it all out, do you know what he means that day? Now listen to what he's saying to you. Many of them will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not done so forth? He said they're going to say, and it's interesting here because he puts down three things that they're going to say they did. Look at it in that verse. They will say, Lord, Lord, did we not first preach, prophesy? Did we not, see, that's all has to do with putting out, didn't we talk about you, Lord? We talked about you, didn't we? Number two. We cast out demons. You say, well, people who are not living right, can't, people who, see, these people here are not even saved, as you're going to read here. These people aren't even saved. You say, yeah, do you believe every preacher that's up preaching, you believe they're all saved? Shake your head. Huh? You believe they're all saved? Every preacher that's up preaching, no matter where, in all the Methodist church, Presbyterian church, Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, Catholic churches, do you believe they're all saved? Well, no, if you do, you're dumber than an ox. They're not all saved. But they're out preaching. They're prophesying. They're putting out words. See? And he said, when they come to the end, they're going to stand up there and they say, Lord, now, see, what he's saying here is this. When you come to the end, words ain't going to get it. Listen to him. Lord, Lord. You see, I called him Lord all my life. He was my Lord all my life. He said, words ain't going to get it. You got to have F-R-U-I-T. He said, and they're going to come up there and they're going to say three things to me. Lord, we've cast out demons in your name, and we talked in your name. And let's see, what's that other thing down there? And by your name, did a lot of works. Did you know some people that's give to, we ought to start calling it Sarah's offering. It ain't really Sarah's offering, but she leads us into. Did you know there's some people that gave to Sarah's offering that won't get paid nothing for it when they get to the end because of the way they gave it? And they will probably stand up there and say, Lord, we had a missions offering where I went to church, and I helped in that. We took up offering for coats, Lord, at the church. I helped in that. Built some benches and fixed windows and did so. I helped in that, Lord. I did a lot of work. And he says, but where is the fruit? So I hope you see what he's saying, because it just scares me. I think if you don't get it right, he said, don't forget, judgment's coming. He said, now I've told you all these things, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. I've told you all these things. And he said, you better watch how you build your house. That's the last part of chapter 7, see. Man built his house, one on sand, one on rock. Watch how you build your house. Because when he gets down there talking about that, do y'all remember what he said would happen to the house? What's going to happen to the house? It's sitting out in the weather. What's going to happen? S-T-O-R-M. S is going to come. What's going to come? Any house sitting out in the weather, storms is going to come. And when storms come, if you build your house on the sand, what do you say happened to it? Crash. You say, what's he talking about? I think me and you pretty well get what he's talking about. You can't build your house on words, works, etc. See, you don't, he says you don't build your house on that. Build your house on the fruit. You don't follow false teaching. You follow my teaching, his teaching. Here in the book, you follow my teaching. And you, when the storms come, you're on the solid rock. When the storms come, you don't have to worry about them. And they will come. One of the church members here said, I called a fellow today that hadn't been to church in several weeks. And said, he said, give me just a little more time. I'm going to be back and get in there. And I hope that's true. You say, Jesse, Jesus don't care nothing about that. No, but it says something about you. See, everything you do says something about you. See? You don't get all kinds of big crowns and everything just because you come sit in the pew and let me holler at you. You think, boy, anybody that sat through Jesse and him hollering at you needs a crown because that is punishment like you ain't never seen. Now, I doubt he'll pay you much for suffering that way. But it does say something about you. The old preacher where I growed up, he said some things. I don't know how scriptural they were, but I mean, I remember. He said, Jesse, I lived right at 2 miles from church. Hey, Jesse, you carry your Bible to church? And I said, well, no, Pastor. He said, you ought to start carrying your Bible to church now that you're saved. I said, why? He said, because if people see you walk in church, you'll preach a sermon 2 miles long. He said, because when they see you carrying your Bible, they'll know where you're going. They'll know what you're headed there for, so forth. So you'd be preaching a sermon without saying a word. I don't know if that's true or not, Kyle, but it sounded good, didn't it? Now, you have to watch the teaching. And so that's what men you want to look at for just a minute. Now, in order for us to look at it, we're going to have to look at over in the Bible just a wee bit. So take your Bible and start over toward the back. We're going over to 2 Peter. We're just going over now. Now, you keep in mind what he says here about false prophets, so forth. You say, Jesse, we don't have many of them. They won't ever stop. Jesus, when he left, he said, you have people coming there hollering, over here is Christ. You say, well, ain't nobody that stupid. You remember reading, 2 years ago when people sold their houses and moved to Georgia somewhere because the fellow said, he's coming right down there on so-and-so day, so you better get ready when 2000 come. You remember when we turned the clock over 2000? These people sold their houses and everything else because they thought, oh, and some of these stupid prophets told them, Lord's going to come when the ball falls in New York, you better get ready because he's going to come. And they sold their houses and cars and everything, and they said, we're ready, you know. Of course, they still stand out there ready for us, I know, because he didn't come. See? Now, you say, Jesse, people won't believe all kinds of stupidity. Like you won't believe what people will believe. See? And Jesus and the Bible warns you all the time, watch what you eat. Talking about the word now. Now, you found 2 Peter? If you haven't found 2 Peter by now, we're going on to leave you. 2 Peter, chapter 2. Now, before we get to chapter 2, look back in chapter 1 so we'll know what chapter 2 is about. Look back up a couple of verses in chapter 1 there while you're at chapter 2. Just look back up at verse 21. See it in chapter 1? 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 21. Now listen to what he said. For no prophecy. Prophecy here has, that's words. That's preaching. See? That's putting out the truth, so to speak, and so forth, see. Now listen to what he says here. For no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Now what he means is this. Any prophecy that is true prophecy did not originate with man. If you find out any prophecy that's worth you listening to, it has to come out of this book. See, if it just comes out of some man's noodle, he don't know hardly what happened yesterday. See, so Peter said, now I want to remind you of this. Any kind of preaching did not originate with man. If it's true preaching, it didn't originate with him. No prophecy ever came by the will of man, but men spoke from God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's what his argument here is in this verse. Since man did not give the scripture, since man does not have the last word and did not give the scripture, then man alone by himself cannot interpret it. Natural man cannot interpret. Do you ever hear these people say, I wouldn't have a God like that. I don't want no God like that. Do you hear these people who man marrying a man and so forth and saying, oh, them scriptures where God says that that's an abomination and everything, you don't pay no attention to that. See, because God made me like I am, and if he made me like I am, see, and it's amazing to listen to them stand up, see, and the Bible says you only take what comes from God. It makes no difference what man stands up and says. If he can't get it out of this book, then don't pay no attention to it. See, because he said all prophecy, all real preaching, all the real stuff comes from God. And it comes by the Spirit of God. And that's the only one who can really interpret it for the people who stand up preaching it. See, the Holy Spirit of God can convince you this is from God. See, that's how you got saved. For instance, the preacher stood up and said something like this. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. You say, oh, yeah, okay, preacher. The wages of sin is death. Okay, preacher. And then the preacher said, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And all at once you start crying, and you come out of your seat, and you come down and hit the altar, you say, what made me do that? Now, it wasn't just that preacher up there hollering words, but he was hollering words that God had wrote down in his book. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God takes those and convinces you. See, he can take God's word and convince you. Now, he don't fool around too much fooling with just what me and you believe, unless we believe what it says here in the book. See, now, if we believe what's said in the book, then you're pretty good. That's why it's so important for you to come and study the Bible. I know it's hard. And it's one of the most difficult things. I'm amazed why people don't like to come and study the Bible. I don't know what they got against Sunday school. I know we don't learn too much because we're only in there 15, 20 minutes. But it amazes me to think, I don't want to come to Sunday school, study the Bible. See? It just kind of amazes me that you don't want to know nothing about whatever. And whatever chance you get to know it, you need to jump on it and say, hey, I want to know something about it, see, if I possibly can. Now, I ain't got time. Me and you won't get through this second. I'm going to see if I can go through some of these verses, second chapter. Because listen to what he says now, because he just said all prophecy comes from God, and it's interpreted by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's the one who wrote it, and the Holy Spirit's the one who helps man to interpret it. See? Now, he just said that, and so now he starts chapter 2. Listen to it. But there arose false prophets. Now, he just talked about where the true prophet stuff is. There arose false prophets among, and you probably ought to put your little circle around among so you won't forget it. They're sitting right in among you. They're not out on the street corner hollering and so forth, sitting in among you. See, The devil, when he wants to lead you wrong, he puts just enough in there. Heard a preacher preach one time on the knots in the devil's tail. And he said the first knot was this. Did God say to you, Eve, do not eat of that fruit? Yes, the Lord said, if we eat of that fruit, the day we eat thereof, we shall die. He said, thou shalt, what's the next word? Thou shalt not. That's the first knot in the devil's tail. See? First knot. You can't believe God. And that's why he got Eve. You can't believe God. And when Eve failed to believe God, she got into trouble. See? The devil's full of them knots. See? Can't really believe God. Now, they're right in among you, the people. And among you also there'll be false teachers. Did you? I probably shouldn't say it, but none of y'all don't know them anyway, probably. When I first came here to this church, we had a fellow teaching Sunday school class. And he sat in class one Sunday, and he talked about some Christians that he knew and so forth, being in mission work and stuff like this, and said they found a demon in a tree one day and started praying for that tree till the demon come out of that tree. Do you think that's probably true? I'm amazed. People come to me and say, Brother Jenny, so we had to say, hey, buddy, I believe you're going to have to go somewhere else because I don't believe that's in the Bible. You say, Jesse, they ain't people believe stuff like that. It's amazing. See, now he says there's false prophets right in among you. See, the devil does more inside of a church than he does from outside. The outside don't. I was here at church last night after dark and so forth, and had lights on and doing certain things. And somebody drove up and I went around and looked at the door, and a policeman was standing there. He said, oh, Pastor, I just saw a car up here, and I always kind of watch and take care of the church and so forth. So when I saw a car up here, I thought it was a little out of the ordinary for this time of night and after dark and so forth and everything. And he said, so just excuse me here and everything. Glad everything's okay. I said, I want you to know we appreciate you checking. See, any time that you will check, you do something like that. See? Now, see, they're alert. They're alert that there's people who will break into a church house among you. So they think, hey, now you will not believe who sits in church from time to time, the kind of people who sit in church. Now, Peter says here, watch out for people who sit among you. They will hurt you more than anybody else will ever be able to hurt you. If you ever really get hurt, you'll get hurt the most by somebody who sits in among you. And one of the things that'll hurt you the most, more than anything, is most time will happen inside your family because y'all love and tied to one another so much. See, some things that my kids done, said, and did, and so forth, all through the different years and so forth, those things really upset me. Now, if somebody else's kid said it, I said, oh, well, so what? It wouldn't have bothered me at all. But when it's right in, see, the people that you love and people you hung with, so see, they will, it will hurt you when they're right in among you. You've always got to be alert that you say, Jesse, I used to think all preachers were perfect until I got acquainted with a lot of preachers, and they would say to me when I'd be with them in a revival, Brother Jesse, would you pray for me about this because this is really bothering me and so forth and so forth and so forth. You know? And I used to want to sit there in shock and say, God, I didn't know preacher got bothered by anything like that. But it's amazing what sets among you. Peter says they set right among you. people who want to discourage you and so forth from being what you ought to be as a Christian. But anyway, he said, you're right among you. Now, they're false teachers. Is yours say privily? P-R-I-V-I-L-Y. Is yours say privily? That's an old English word here. Means they're pretending. They are, they're pretending with a purpose to be able to get something from you that you don't know what they're going to gather from you. They pretended. So you have to watch them. They sit right among you, privily, bringing in destructive, as yours say, destructive heresies. Huh? Heresies means, the word heresies means they depart from Scripture. They say, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I don't see nothing wrong with that. And what they're doing, trying to do is pull something to themselves to justify why they do what they do, why they act the way they act, so forth. So Peter says, they're right in among you. Teachers, preachers, everything, right in among you. Now, if you learn to live with it, it'll be a blessing to you. See? And don't let it, don't think it's something strange when it happens. Because he's done told you. They're right in among you doing heresies. Heresies means they deviate from Scripture. Anybody that's a heretic is a person who don't tell the Scripture the way that it ought to be. And they deny even the master that bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. I wanted to preach a sermon on these next two lines. Listen to what he says here. And many shall follow their lascivious. Yours say lascivious. That's an interesting word. It has in it unrestrained, indecent. Since all of y'all dress pretty nice, sometimes I see people come to church and they're dressed in such a way that I think it's indecent. See, and you have to look at, for instance, if a woman dresses in such a way so that other people really notice her, you got to say there's something wrong at home that she's trying to attract other people. See, there's something wrong at home. And it can be bothersome to people. See, you have to, they sit right in among you. People sit right, and if you ask them, are you trying to throw a curve to somebody? Well, no, I'm singing in the choir. Well, I'm just kind of making a point. See, but see, they're right among you. And that's just one of my pet peeves. Y'all know why they, when they built this church, do you know why they put this around here? Right here? You know why they put that around the organ? They did have one around the piano and we took it down. Do you know why they put them around the piano? Miss Sarah knows. You couldn't enjoy church sitting watching piano. Most piano players, the way they sat down with a dress on, it would detour you from singing religious songs, and you didn't feel very religious. So the church thought, we got to solve this some way, so we're going to put a whatever around there, and you won't be able to see them. You can hear them play piano or the organ, but you won't be able to see them. Now, isn't that a shame that churches have to do that? But that's why they didn't have no other reason for doing it. See, they're not trying to hide the piano. They're trying to hide the piano player. But you say, does the devil work that way? See, the person may not consciously think this is what I'm doing. But you have to watch. The devil takes stuff that you would not think about, and he will distract. He will, and it says lascivious here. Lascivious means that it will be indecent. It will be unrestrained. It's doing like I want to do, and so forth. When I growed up, the old preachers didn't want you women to cut your hair. They said you look floozy. What is a floozy anyway? Something. Do you know, Pat, what a floozy is? Huh? Jezebel. Dula likes Jezebel. Ever since we preached about it in Revelation, she liked Jezebel. But the old timers come up with things. They said, just leave your long hair the way it is and leave. See, they want you to just leave things like they are. And they didn't want you to wear a rouge and lipstick and, you know, just stay like you are. You don't know why they did that, do you? You think, well, they're a bunch of idiots. Well, not necessarily. See? Because when you dress in a certain way, you put out a message. See? When you dress, you put out a message. This is the message that's going out. And you know who I look at and admire a lot? You remember them little women that wear this little thing, little cup on the back of their head? And their dress is down top of their shoes and they don't have no makeup on. I'm not sure about that because they do look awful clean and pretty. I think you must have rubbed something in there because you look real clean and pretty. Alexa, you don't have nothing, do you? Why don't you look at that complexion? She needs a whipping. See, anybody look at it? But see, these people, I admire them because they think, we don't care where y'all put your dresses. We don't care how y'all fix your hair. We don't care how you do so-and-so. We're just going on just like we look. See? Now, the scriptures probably would teach you that. And I remember the first old preacher that come to our church, and he said, you hear these preachers talking about you shouldn't have no rouge or no lipstick? Any old barn looks good if you put a little paint on it. And I never will forget, boy, everybody in that church was looking at one another and thought, is he really up there saying that? You know? See, living the Christian life, you just have to make sense out of the Christian life. See, when you have to keep in mind all the time that the devil goes to church. See? He don't skip church and stay down at the bar. He goes to church. He's better than a deacon. He don't miss services or anything else. He's there every Sunday. See? And you have to watch out for him. Now, look, verse 3. And in covetousness will they with fans, you'll say fans word, F-E-I, fans word, all right. It that means false. Them old English words are hard sometimes to get. And in covetousness, they with false words make a pretense from old. Does yours have old in there? O-L-D? Old lingereth not. Do you have that expression in that third verse? Huh?
This is long time.
All right, long time. All right, now here's what it means is this. God wrote down a long time ago, this is right and this is wrong. And when it says without false words or anything, God wrote it down back here. And he said, this is right, this is wrong. Now, what Peter's saying here is this, and it will never change. Thou shalt not kill. God wrote that down way back yonder. And it will not change. God will not change it. See? God wrote this. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not bear false. He won't change. That's what they're saying here. Long time ago, God wrote down, and the same thing is true today, and when you get to the end of life, and we all stand in the judgment, the same thing will still be true. And he will judge you by that long ago was put down. That's what Peter's saying here, that things of old, they linger, but they are carrying you to utter ruin if you violate them. See, you will face judgment and utter ruin as your Christian life if you violate what God has said for you to do. Destruction slumbereth not. That means it ain't asleep. And what God's wrote down, it's on your trail. The Bible says this. Y'all read this, but you didn't think about it. The very hairs of your head are numbered. Every time you comb your hair and one drops out, the angel says, hey, change that hairdo there. They just lost three hairs. Change that hairdo. Now listen to the Bible. The thought of foolishness is sin. Every time a thought runs through your mind, don't have to be a bad thought. You say, I didn't think nothing bad. Don't have to be bad. All it has to be is empty. Foolish. Foolish means empty. Just an empty thought, something that ain't worthwhile. You say, Jesse, right now I'm thinking of McDonald's hamburger french fry. That's probably a stupid thought right now. And it may not be, I don't know, but you know, I'm not that hungry right now. But when you do an empty thought, see, he's got, now what he's saying here is this, everything that you do, from the hair of your head to the thoughts that run through your mind, everything, it stays with you. See, if we had the right kind of microphone, you could get Abraham Lincoln doing the Gettysburg Address because it's still out there floating around in the atmosphere. See, it's out there floating around. And if you had the right kind of microphone, because, see, they can sit in a stand now and point a microphone to a football fellow down on the field, just point the microphone at him, and they can pick up his voice. See, down there. Now, if you had a strong enough microphone, you could go on into the atmosphere and pick up the voices that's out there. Because every word's been said, it's still out there floating around. It ain't gone. It's out there. It's still floating around. If you had the right kind of microphone, you could pick it up and get it. You could get Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount if you had the right kind of microphone. You say, God's not going to remember every... Oh, yeah. See, even mankind can record what you say and what you do. Even mankind do that. You say, well, God can't do that. Oh, yeah, God's much smarter than me. He did that before we ever even thought you could record anything. Now, he says it don't slumber. God's word don't slumber. It just stays right with you. What you do just stays right with you. And it'll follow you all the way into the judgment. Do you remember where he said, and on that day, there'll be people who will come up and say, Lord, have we not prophesied? Have we not cast out demons? Have we not done mighty works? How about we done so and so, Lord? And he says to them, what? I don't know you. See, it followed him all the way. See, he didn't say, no, I didn't say you didn't preach. I didn't say you didn't cast out demons. I didn't say you didn't do works. But I am saying, I don't know you. See? So when Jesus says, to do the will of my Father is so very important, take him at his word. Just do what God wants you to do, and you'll probably be okay when you get there. See? I can't read all this second chapter. How many will hold up your hand and say, Brother Jesse, if the Lord lets me remember it, I'll read this second chapter after I go home. Not tonight, but sometime. I'll read tonight or sometime. I will read this second chapter of 1 Peter. Just hold up your hand and put it back down. All right, you bunch of liars. I want you to see what he says in the verse I just read you, where the old time stuff does not stop, it don't linger, it don't slumber, it don't sleep. It means God's word is right there following you. Now I want you to get this. Look at verse 4. God, even the higher order of his creation, got a record of them. What are they called? In verse 4, what are they called? Angels. He's got a record of them. When they didn't do right, he cast them down. Now, at verse 5, look what it said. Spread not the ancient world. Who was in the ancient world? In verse 5. Who was in the ancient world? Verse 5. Noah. He wiped them all out. You say, God ain't going to punish me. He will not punish me. Peter says, he punished the angels. He punished the people in Noah's day. Now look what he says in the next one down there. Verse 6. Do you know the fellow that lived in them two towns? Huh? Lot. His uncle was a friend of God. But he had to pay the price. See? Now what's Peter saying? When you violate God's commands, no matter who you are, if you be an angel, if you have an uncle who is a friend of God, if you what, see, whatever, you got Noah was a preacher of righteousness, but the people ignored it, you pay for it. And that's what Peter's sermon is all about here, that you just keep it in mind that you'll have to pay. And the false teachers, if you listen to them, cause you a lot of trouble. You need to, we got a little program, I guess we still got some of them around here, y'all seen them, where you can read the Bible through in a year. If y'all ain't, we got some out there in front or something. Now you need to start kind of getting serious about reading the Bible. You say, Jesse, I can't understand that stuff. Don't let that be an excuse. When you come up on a hard word, when you're reading through there, and it says Nebuchadnezzar, and you think, God, I can't say that old word. When you get down there, just say hard word. And the Lord said hard word, and then go on and read. And run another, and you can't say hard word, and go on and read. See, just read the words you can read. See, it's this book. Now, I know you think, this old man's out of his head. I'm telling you the truth. This book. You won't believe what this book will do for you if you'll read it. See? You won't believe how far some of y'all have come since you've just started coming out here at church. You won't believe how far you've come. See? Because it's just like eating beans and taters and stuff. It just grow you. See, I don't know how them beans and taters does it, but they just grow you. Give you strength and everything. See, now, when you do this book, it will strengthen you. It will grow you. It will sustain you. It will, it'll do all that stuff for you. Now, get you a program where you think, I'm going to start the first of 2014, and I'm going to read this book during this year. I'm going to read it. Now, if you read this fast, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, if you will read that fast, 15 minutes a day, you can read the Bible through in 1 year. Now, if you read faster than that, you'll keep. What you need to do, read you one chapter out of the Old Testament, one chapter out of the New Testament, and just say, I'm going to read them too. I'll read them too. Get you a time when you, and after you've done it for, say, 10, 12 days, it'll get to be a habit. And you'll have a hard time getting up and going on doing whatever you want to do till you read it. And you say, Jesse, I get up at 6 o'clock every morning. All right, set your clock, 5:45. Say, all right, I'm going to tell you, that's spare time, so I'm just going to take that 15 minutes and drink my coffee and read the Word. 15 minutes, and then I'll start my day at 6 o'clock like I usually do. See? You'll be surprised, and I will too, but you'll be surprised what will start happening in your life. You say, Jesse, is that really true? It is really true. See? Listen to the old psalmist. I will hide God's word in my heart so that I might not, what? Sin against God. You say, Jesse, can that really do that? Do you believe it? I will hide his word in my heart so that it'll keep me from sinning against God. See, and it'll help you. It'll do that. So you're going to have to start sometime. So you might as well start this year. We're right up on it. Just think, I believe I'll start this year. Try to do it. Now, anybody got a word of testimony or something you want to say before we go? I jumped around so much tonight. You didn't learn nothing, but that's all right.